When do you forgive? You know, forgiveness is, if there's anything that's more fundamental to the Christian teaching, it is forgiveness. It's the message that Christ brought and the example that he gave for us, his willingness to die for our sins and to forgive us of our sins. Is forgiveness always possible? Is it always, you know, and maybe one step further, is it always possible to be reconciled? In a way, forgiveness is a greatly misunderstood word in the Bible. It's sort of like grace, you know. People misunderstand grace. They misunderstand the law of God, the role of the law. But forgiveness is something that can be greatly misunderstood. I can remember back in our experience with the Church of God that a minister being caught in a immoral activity, and a tape came out, and that the title was "It's All About Forgiveness." And some of you, I think, remember that message or the title. It's all about forgiveness. Well, in a way, in that case, it wasn't all that simple. You could say, "Well, it's all about forgiveness. Let's just forgive and forget." But it was a little bit more complicated than that. I want to give you some examples just to sort of stretch your mind here, stretch and cause you to think a little bit about forgiveness. Here's one. I was molested as a child by my father. Now at age 40, I still have great resentment toward my father. Most religious people tell me I have to forgive and forget if I want to be forgiven by God. My father since has found religion and claims to be saved. At family reunions, he wants to hold his grandchildren and be close to them. This is very disturbing for me because I don't know if he has really changed. Complicated situations. You know, again, forgiveness, yes, but what about reconciliation? These are just things that causes us to think about this subject. Here's another one. I was abandoned by my father at age 12. Even though I haven't heard from him in 20 years, I still wish I could be reconciled to my father. Most people tell me just to forgive him and move on. But I find it hard to forgive in my heart when I see no remorse from him. Could be an example of divorce or whatever, but the child at one time was close to the parent, and now, you know, the father just haven't heard from the father in 20 years. Here's another one that you can dwell on this one. A minister is caught cheating on his wife. Most members of the church say we just need to forgive him and let him continue his ministry. Does the Bible teach that we should forgive all people of all offenses regardless of whether they have repented or not? Questions. Now, on the other hand, some people will say, well, unless that person comes to me begging for forgiveness, you know, on their hands and knees, I will not forgive that person. You ever heard that one? They got to come crawling up, begging. But I'm not forgiving until they do. I'm not going to forgive that person until they do that. Another question, does forgiveness mean reconciliation? That you can just sort of forgive, forget, and make everything all right? Does forgiveness mean you are to assume a relationship with this person as if the offense had never occurred? A lot of people look at forgiveness like that. That once you forgive, you can just go back and assume a relationship with that person as if nothing ever happened. Is that true? In Matthew 6 and verse 14 is a pretty straightforward statement by Jesus. Matthew 6 and verse 14 says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father also will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." That sounds pretty conditional. I mean, you know, you forgive, I'll forgive you. So now you could look at this and you could say, well, so all you really need to have a relationship with God is just to go around forgiving everybody. That's all you just forgive. You know, it don't even matter if you're religious or not. Just go around forgiving everybody and Christ will forgive you. That's all you got to do. And it doesn't really matter how I live my life I just need to forgive as Christ forgave us. And He'll forgive. You see, you can take that out of context, that scripture right there, and apply it in the wrong way. As far as sin is concerned, we don't need to even talk about sin. It's all about forgiveness and grace. That sounds like, I've even heard messages like that, or it seems that way. It's just all about grace. It's all about forgiveness. Now, probably I've created more questions than answers, but I want to give you some guidelines that I think will serve you well by the time this message is over. And I want to look at three fundamentals about forgiveness that I think will do as well. Number one, first one I want to give you is this simple fact, that in a way, only God can forgive sins. This is easy to overlook. One of the biggest oversights among Christians is this concept that in reality there is a type of forgiveness that we can forgive in a way, but truth of the matter is, only God can forgive sins. In other words, in Luke 5 and verse 20, I'll just share the story with you. And Jesus had just healed a person. He said, when he saw their faith, he said unto the man, "Your sins are forgiven." And the scribes and Pharisees begin to reason, saying, "Who is this which speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Now, they didn't know who Christ was. You know, they didn't know that this was the Son of God in the flesh. They just thought, well, this is Joseph's boy. He's one of us, you know. And they see Jesus saying, "I forgive you." And they look and they say, "What does he think he's doing? You know, who can forgive sins but God?" And in a way, they had that concept. You know, that's a good statement. Who else but God can forgive? In other words, you can forgive a person, but you cannot absolve that person of their sins. You can't release a person of their guilt. Only God can do that. You cannot pronounce a person blameless. You're not guilty. You're not to be held responsible. You can't do it. Only God can do that. And the reason only God can do that is, the reason we can't do that is because we're not God. We haven't shed any of our blood, you know, for the forgiveness. In other words, by His shed blood, we have forgiveness of our sins. Now, like I said, it may be a small matter, but I think a lot of times it's a misunderstanding about forgiveness. I remember hearing a woman, her daughter had, I think, been killed by a mass murderer. And sometimes you'll hear this in the Christian realm of, you know, people, and she said, I forgave him. I forgave the murderer. Now, I understand what she's saying, but I'm not sure she understands what she's saying. you know. Now, I think one of the reasons people find it hard to forgive is because they think in their mind they're playing God. In other words, if I forgive, I'll just release that person of their guilt and all that. I think that may be one of the reasons people find it hard to forgive sometimes. The forgiveness that we give is for our own benefit. That's what it's for, our own self-satisfaction. It benefits you and you alone, our forgiveness. And I'll touch on that, what that means about us forgiving. But for example, if you have a business partner that steals you blind, let's say you're in partners and your business partner steals you blind, you can forgive him, but he may get hooked up with someone else and continue to steal for another 20 years. In fact, he may go to his grave stealing. We have a hard time accepting this reality in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. I'll just give you that reference. Here's what it says, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good, whether it be bad." A lot of times we want immediate, you know, justice. I want justice right now. In other words, you can release a person from their debt, but that person still has to answer to God. That person still has to come to repentance, and you know, that's between them and God. So that first one is only God can forgive in that sense. Only God can absolve a person of their sin. Only God can release a person from their guilt, pronounce them blameless. That's only God can do that. So that's the first point about forgiveness that I want to give. The second one, what does it mean when we forgive another person? If a person comes to you and says, "I was wrong, please forgive me," you have no other option. You know, your only choice is, "Of course I forgive you." How many times have you had that to happen, though, in your life, where a person comes to you and says, "Please forgive me. I've wronged you. I've sinned against you." I see one answer. She's shaking her head. No, never. Can you count that on one hand or what? I mean, so I don't guess I have to forgive anybody, do I? The word forgive is bandied about so much that I think we fail to understand it. Here's a simplicity of the way I understand it. It's simply, I release you. I'm not going to hold a grudge. I'm not going to lose any sleep. I'm not going to lie awake at night harboring thoughts of anger and hatred, that dirty old so-and-so. I'm just going to release that person of this debt. Jesus said, "And forgive us our sins." We all want that from God. We all want to be forgiven. "For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us." Here it uses a different word. That reference is found in Luke 11, verse 4. As everyone that is indebted. And the word indebted means to owe, to be under obligation, to fail in duty. Have you ever had anyone fail you? Maybe made you a promise and didn't keep it? Indebted to you. Jesus said, if you don't release this person of their debt, I'm not going to forgive you. I had many years ago, I had I think I might have shared this story with you, but I bought a motorcycle. And when I bought it, I paid $500 and I thought it was a real good deal. I thought, man, that's a good deal. I'm going to buy that. I found out about a week later, a guy called me and said that it was his motorcycle, that he had let this guy borrow it for whatever reason. And the guy that borrowed it sold me the motorcycle. In other words, I had just bought a stolen motorcycle. And he said, "This bike is mine. I've got the title to it." And I thought, that deadbeat bum done sold me a motorcycle that was stolen. I'm out of $500. And back then, $500 was a lot more money than it is today. or it was to me, anyway. But then I thought, okay, all right. I said, enough is enough. Just forget about it. You're out of $500. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to hate the person. You know, I'm not going to go out and kill him or anything. I just release the person of the debt. And a strange thing happened like a day after I had that attitude. The guy comes back and says, the guy that I bought the bike from comes back and says, "I want to buy it back from you for $500. Said, "Here's your $500, you know. And I really didn't ask a lot of questions. I said, "Hey, this is great. You know, now I don't have to worry about this. You know, it was back to the original owner that was between, you know, or back to the guy that sold it to me, the stolen bike. And it was, you know, I had nothing to do with it at that point. But I got my money back. Everything worked out. And I wonder, would it have worked out if I would have sit around hating him and losing sleep for, you know, the rest of my life? I don't think it would have ever worked out. I think God works, you know, this is the way God works. So you can release a person that has not asked for your forgiveness. No confession, no repentance. You know, I release you. I'm not going to hold a grudge. I'm not going to lose any sleep. I'm not going to harbor any anger. Here's a saying that I like. It says, forgiveness is not something we do for other people. We do it for ourselves to get well and move on. That's really what forgiveness is about. As far as our forgiveness, that's what it's about our own ability to cope with life. It's about our own self-satisfaction. You know, it's about, you know, it's what I do in order that I don't die at an early age of cancer. Because if you're enraged and you're not forgiving and you're hating this, you know, it's no telling what that. In fact, I read a statistic on that one time, and it connected it with cancer. Inward rage and anger, an unforgiving spirit toward other people. So this business partner that cheated you out of money, you know, You forget that forgiveness is something we do for ourselves. The mother that told the story about how that she forgave the murderer that killed her daughter, that forgiveness was for her own self. I believe people misunderstand what they're doing there, although. But that's what it's really about. It's for your own good. Forgiveness is not something we do for other people. We do it for ourselves to get well and move on. Okay, the third point, forgiveness does not mean that you can be reconciled. Just because you've forgiven doesn't mean that the relationship is going to be reconciled. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In a way, Jesus was saying, I release them. I'm not going to hold them. I'm not going to hold this against them. But those murderers who killed Jesus, and that's you and me, are not going to be reconciled to God until there is repentance. Until there is repentance. Repentance is a key to being reconciled. You can forgive a father who molested you, but chances are you're not going to be reconciled until there is repentance from that man. You can forgive a father who abandoned you, but chances are you're not going to be reconciled. That relationship is not going to be made right until there is repentance. And here's the sad part. You may go to your grave not having been reconciled to some people. Now, suppose you really desire to make a relationship right. Suppose you got something that eats away at you, and you wish more than anything that there could be a reconciliation. This relationship could be made right. Is there anything that we can use from the Scripture that tells us what to do? Well, yes, it is. Let's turn to Matthew 18 and verse 15. Matthew 18 and verse 15. And I'll wrap this up with this last passage. Matthew 18 and verse 15, probably one of the most greatest misunderstood scriptures in the Bible about going to your brother. It says, moreover, if your brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, you have gained your brother. Now, maybe a person might think, well, that'd be hard for me to do, to go to my brother and because after what he's done to me. Well, yeah, I understand that. I guess you could write a letter and explain it. You know, what you did to me was wrong. The goal here is to identify the sin. You know, this is what you did to me. This was wrong. This is a sin. Go to your brother. Tell him his fault. This is not about going to your brother for petty differences, personality clashes. You didn't compliment my bean salad, and I'm coming to you and telling you. Now, that's not what this is about. I've heard of this really being misused here. I mean, people just anything. I'm going to my brother. I'm going to tell him. Your ugliness offends me or whatever. and I'm just everything. I'm going to my brother. No, that's not what this is about. This is about a trespass. It's about a sin committed against you, and you're able to identify the sin. Okay, you go to your brother, and you tell him, this is what you did, this is wrong. 16, but if he will not hear you, take with you one or two more, then in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. So if the person will not listen, you take a witness. Now guess what? The witness is not the minister. That's a no-no right there. He is the last person that needs to be involved. Also, the person you call for a witness has to be a neutral person. He cannot know anything. I've had a lot of people come up to me and on several occasions I've had a person come up to me and spill the beans on another person. I mean, tell me everything that's going to, he did this, he did that, and he did this, and that's wrong, that wrong, that. Oh, and by the way, will you be a witness for me, and we can go talk to this person? That's not how, once you know the other side, you're out of the question. You cannot be a witness. You have to have a person who is totally oblivious to what's going on, because that way, a witness has to be oblivious, because, in other words, you get the three of you together, And the person, the witness, listens to your side, listens to your side. And he's able to judge without a biased opinion. Once he has a biased opinion, once you informed him, he can't be a witness. You always want to keep that in mind. You want a neutral person to be your witness. And so just say, you know, I'm having a problem with so-and-so here. Would you mind coming along and just listening and judging between this situation? But don't inform that person about anything that's going on. Okay. Verse 17, and if he shall neglect to hear thee, tell it to the church. But if he neglects to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. That's strong words. That's no reconciliation right there. You can't work it out, the relationship. So, in closing, three simple points. Number one, only God can absolve a person of their sin. Only God can release a person of their guilt. Only God can pronounce a person blameless, not guilty. All right, we got that. Second, our forgiveness, is simply releasing a person from their debt, not holding a grudge, and it's all for your own benefit. It's all for your own goodness that you don't die in early age. And thirdly, even though there can be forgiveness, a relationship being made right has to involve repentance. There has to be repentance there. A lot of times before there can be reconciliation, there must be repentance. I hope that will help us to maybe at least give us some things to hang to when we're dealing with repentance, because I do believe that there is a misconception about forgiveness. Excuse me, forgiveness is what I was talking about, yeah, instead of repentance. But I think there are misconceptions about forgiveness. And sometimes a person can, you know, try to work forgiveness up, you know, try to work it up, and they're trying to feel really good toward this person, and they can't really do it because there's been no reconciliation in that. There's been no repentance. And you know how you feel about an individual, and you can't make yourself sometimes have certain close feelings unless there is true repentance there from the person.